You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock, 3:04. On your Thursday afternoon, we are T-minus, about 52 hours away from kickoff 2020. Finally, ladies and gentlemen, it is here. Bear's here, so is Trey Wallace. Good afternoon, Bear.
Good afternoon, Russell.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good.
It's good to hear. Trey Wallace, how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. Ready to get to Columbia. Doing great.
Unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. As we get down to it this afternoon, yesterday it was all Cade Mays all the time. Today the focus of all nation shifts back to the top of the flagpole. Or Jeremy Pruitt. I guess Philip Fulmer finally has the answer to Trey's question that pissed him off so bad a couple months ago.
What's that?
That's a good point.
As you remember, Trey asked him about – we were out there at Old Ben Franklin Motors. We had Coach Fulmer on. We just having a normal interview, just kicking it with Coach. And Trey asked it, I thought, a very mild-mannered and reasonable question about – this is pre-COVID. So this would have been like January or February. And Trey asked Coach, what's the deal with Coach Pruitt's contract extension? He's won six in a row, won a bowl game. Didn't roll him over anything the year before. Do you have any news to report there? And Coach shut it down. I believe the answer was, first of all, he interrupted and wouldn't let Trey finish the question. No, we don't want to talk about that. I ain't got nothing. And Trey was flustered a little bit. It was like, oh, I was just asking. And he was like, and Coach Fulmer said, nice try.
Maybe
we're working like heck.
Maybe Coach Fulmer was aware of, you know, some of the shots Trey takes from time to time.
Oh,
I wasn't flustered. I knew exactly.
Maybe he gets email notifications.
The email, the Trey takes a cheap shot at Coach Fulmer email notification that you send out to your list.
The list is short. You know, I'm a loyal soldier to the captain.
You are. You'll take a bullet for Coach Fulmer. Well, we'll see what happens. Jeremy Pruitt gets the raise and extension today. $400,000 annual raise, 2-year extension. I guess I don't understand this part, Trey. Help me understand. He's not taking the raise this year, but I guess it'll be on like year 2 and 3 of the deal. He'll go up from 3.8 to 4.2 million.
He did not take the $400,000 raise this year because of athletic department and COVID concerns. But once January hits, he'll take that $400,000 raise.
Well, I understand COVID and the economic issues we're suffering will just disappear in January. Right? All that stuff goes
exactly.
Away?
Yeah.
That's the way it works. Okay, good.
November, though.
Hey, this is all I'm going to say. Actually, it's not all I'm going to say. We got 3 hours to fill. I'm going to say a lot. But this is where it all boils down to for me. You better win, man. You better win. He better win anyway. It was going to be a meltdown if Tennessee loses South Carolina anyway. Now you just add this onto it. And Coach Fulmer's kind of sticking his neck out there for the guy at this point. I know they're pretty much already, you know, their fates are intertwined, attached, whatever. But you better win now, Bear. What interesting timing to announce this today, 2 days before a game. If it wasn't must win before, it's must win now.
Yeah, I mean, the optics on it, I'll agree with you, would look bad if he lost the game Saturday night.
Do the optics look bad anyway with so many people on unemployment? the worst of the economic hit probably yet to come. Everything that's happening right now, I mean, I know that he probably earned it. We talked about this before COVID hit. Like, I thought he was going to get a raise and extension, and that's probably, I don't know if it's the right thing to do, but it's just what you do in that goofy business. But now, with the chickens finally coming home to roost, not only for schools that have been mismanaged financially for years like Tennessee, but for everybody. Ohio State is rolling in it up there, and they're like, yeah, we're going to lose $100 million this year. Is it the right call? It's a hard one, man. I don't know how we're supposed to feel about this. How do you feel about it, Barry? Gut feel, are you?
I mean, it's just, you know, part of me, the biggest part of me is to say it's just how they do business. The other part of me, you know, does feel like it's kind of a little tone deaf to what's going on right now.
It's how they do business.
I don't have a problem with the extension.
But all we've talked about for the past 5 months is how the way we do business is not the way we do business anymore. The ramifications of this are going to be felt for years. And we just got through begging our loyal fan base, the 25,000 or so who are actually buying the tickets, begging them, and the 25,000 who didn't buy the tickets. You're begging them, even though you're not going to go to the games this year, can we please keep the money because we need it so badly? And then you turn around and give a $400,000 a year raise to a guy who, unless I missed something, I think I follow this pretty closely, nobody's beating down the door to hire Jeremy Pruitt away from us. He ain't won a championship yet. He ain't going nowhere. Am I missing something, Trey?
I think you do have to give him credit.
Sure.
For how he's performed during the pandemic, which is he's recruited an incredibly high clip. He's done everything he can to hold the, you know, to keep the program together and get the team ready for the season. And now we're here, and it's just, you know, I don't think people will care if we go out Saturday night and take care of business and handle South Carolina. So,
and listen, reflexively irate Vol fan is our, hey, man, why you guys coming off on Coach Pruitt, man? He's the man. We got to keep him. Like, okay, I get it. Like, yeah.
They don't all sound like that, Ruffles.
He has done, some of them. He has done well so far. He's done what we expected him to do. He had done poorly. But the jury's still out, right? I mean, we're not crowning this guy yet. Going into year three of Butch Jones, we thought everything was fine.
I don't think we said everybody thought everything was fine, man.
Well, I think here's one thing that stands out to me. He's still making less than the basketball coach at Tennessee, so they're still making him work for it.
The basketball coach so far has proven to be better at his job than Jeremy Pruitt is at his, correct?
Exactly.
And that's not a knock on Pruitt.
The basketball coach is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's doing really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Not fair to compare him.
What do you think about it, Trey? Is this the right move by UT? Is this tone deaf, or is this just a thing that we really shouldn't have a strong opinion on one way or the other?
What's the only sport that's making money at Tennessee right now? Football.
Men's basketball.
Men's basketball is breaking just over even. They're not making any money.
Where are you getting your numbers from?
The University of Tennessee.
You're going to have to send me copies of those, because it was my understanding that the two programs that operate in the black are the men's basketball team and the football team. I know nobody else does.
The basketball team's not making the amount of money that's going to be able to fund different athletics at Tennessee.
No, but they can fund themselves and operate with a profit. If they, you know, they aren't asked to carry, you know, the whole Title IX thing that the football team is, but they don't. Rick Barnes isn't looking for a handout from Jeremy Pruitt to keep his program going. Bruce Pearl. Hold on, he got us up and running.
Let's focus on
the Craft Pavilion, and you want to focus on Pruitt.
Well, what Trey is saying, the football program makes money. Are they going to make any more or less, whether or not we give them this raise? Make $400,000 less, I suppose. Where's he going? What's he done? Did I miss a win over Alabama, Georgia, or Florida? Did I miss somebody? Did Florida State come sniffing around last year when their job was open? Is he out there taking meetings right now? Is he flying to Dallas for a meeting with an AD inside some airport hotel room?
No, he's you know, putting in probably 100 hours a week making our football team better.
And glad to do it, right? Glad that we gave him this opportunity to be a head coach.
Why are you getting on the guy so hard today, Russ?
I'm not. I'm just stating the reality of the situation.
I've noticed just a hint of ungratefulness about you when it comes to Coach Pruitt. You don't appreciate him at all.
Well, I don't know if
I have that goober back.
I don't know if I appreciate him yet or not. He hasn't done anything. Am I wrong?
Totally right.
I felt like he righted the ship last year.
He righted the ship last year. What happened before that?
He kind of crapped the bed.
Okay, well.
But we haven't lost since we got the Alabama screw job.
Who'd we beat?
According to Trey, the powerhouse program is Kentucky.
Oh, no.
Vanderbilt, Missouri, South Carolina.
All right, honest question.
Indiana.
Honest question. Let's take the emotion out of it here, and I'll work through this with you guys. What's Jeremy Pruitt's defining moment here so far? What's his best moment? Win at Auburn the first year?
Nah.
No?
That was fun. I feel like his defining moment, believe it or not, it was a loss with Alabama last year.
So his defining moment was a 22-point loss?
You cut your mic off while I'm talking. Like I said, I think it was Alabama. I mean, you know, Garantano doesn't go rogue. Just a lot of different things happened in that game. I felt like that's when he kind of – I finally felt like he was one of us. You know, he got screwed over by the refs in Tuscaloosa.
So we gave him a $400,000 a year raise.
I don't know, man. I don't know what to think.
If
the pandemic wasn't going on, would we blink at all about it?
That's a great question. Probably not.
This would just be a blurb in the top four.
And that's the only thing that really gives me pause, is there are so many people out there that are hurting. And my position is, and not to make it about me, but I've taken a financial loss this year. The business that I do, my business here at Fan Run, honestly, I'm just so happy that we're having a football season, that we have a job, and I know so many people who have taken a lot worse hit than I have, people that are unemployed and are really suffering. Like, I'm grateful, and I cannot imagine getting a raise in this situation. I don't know. Maybe I haven't done as good a job as he has. Probably not. Certainly haven't worked as hard.
Beating Missouri, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Indiana, in my opinion, does not deserve you a 2-year extension right now. Go out and prove yourself this year, and then you can add 3 years to that extension. But, I mean, having him on till January 31st of 2026, I just feel like it's a little – I thought this thing was going to be announced at the end of the season. I did not expect it to be announced now. They went ahead and they got it done. I just think he's got – this is his class. This is his recruiting class. This is all of his players. Go win with your players, and then we'll give you an extension. It's not like Alabama's coming after you after the season. It's not like Clemson or any other school's coming after you during, after this year is over with. So what's the rush?
Well, what's the rush in a season and off season where the storyline has been programs and coaches around the country taking voluntary pay cuts to keep jobs, to keep sports, to keep people in their buildings. I can't think I'm sure it's happened, but I can't think of any other school that's given a coach a raise. Jim Harbaugh took a pay cut. Lincoln Riley took a pay cut. The Iowa State.
In fairness to Pruitt, he turned down 400. You know, did he not take a pay cut? And then he turned down almost $500,000 for this year.
Well, Trey's saying that they're going to give it to him in January. I mean, that's nice window dressing, but at the end of the day, it's window dressing. He's still going to get the $400,000.
No.
The hell, good for him, man. I won't be a hypocrite. There's no world in which I'm turning down $400,000. You're going to give it to me, I'm going to take it.
He better be 2-0 heading into Georgia.
He better be 2-0 heading into Georgia. There is
the heel turn from Trey. He's carried more water from Pruitt than anybody else on the show. You're kind of turning on him a little bit, I feel like. Your brethren.
I'm sorry. I just don't bow down and worship your hero. I'm sorry.
Trey, you literally would get – last year, you blamed everybody on that campus but Jeremy Pruitt for the Georgia State and BYU debacle.
I think this is good for Trey's credibility. It shows he's not a company man. He's not, his opinion's not bought and paid for. He can think for himself. Good for you, Trey.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It is a change, though, you have to admit.
Stay with us. Well, that's good. When the facts change, your opinion should change. Only a moron clings to his opinion when the facts and situations around it change.
Okay.
Folks, let's open up the G3 Help Me hotline this afternoon. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. 546-8200. We take a quick timeout. Your phone call's coming up next. What do you think about it? Is this the right move by UT? Is this a horrible PR blunder? Or is this just a thing that happened and we're playing football in 2 days and we really need to just focus on that? Back with your phone calls coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Russell Beer, Trey Crews along with you. Today's Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question. What do you think about this raise and extension Jeremy Pruitt gets? Well deserved? Not deserved? Or no opinion? 865-546-8200. 546-8200. Let's go to the phones. Austin, you're on the G3 Help Me hotline. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, Russell. How are y'all today?
Hey, doing well. What's up, man?
Well, it's a good thing you didn't bring on the first segment, because I'll be honest, I was going to come off the top rope. But y'all basically said everything that I was thinking about this. I guess my biggest issue right now, and I'll just be very frank about it, is the fan base. It feels like they're sheeping up again, like they did the first time we gave the last guy an extension, even though he hadn't done anything to earn it. But yet, it's magically different this time. This fan base, us as a whole, we have the hardest time learning from history in our past.
We don't learn lessons, Austin. We don't learn. When are we going to learn? We spent the entire 5 years of the Dooley, of the Butch era, bitching about Dooley and why we have to pay him. He's coach for the Cowboys. Oh my God, financial mismanagement. Mike Hamlin, all this. We spent the last 3 years bitching about Butch Jones and, oh my God, Dave Harden, blah, 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 financial mismanagement, all this. And we turn around, we're doing the exact same thing. Guys haven't done anything. You're not going anywhere.
We got people in house right now, sheeping it up for this man, keeping up with this program, you're not allowed to say a negative thing about him. You're not allowed to question anything going on over there on the Hill. And it's, it feels like fan runs become state runs just because with certain people, you're not allowed to say anything negative. Like, yes, he did a good job last year after the ship sank to the bottom of the ocean, going to buy a new one and load everybody up on that one. Congratulations. But the first two games are still inexcusable, in my opinion. Sorry, but they are. You did a fantastic job to try to get positive momentum going into this season. Fantastic. But, again, it's who did you beat? Here's the deal. For me this year, the floor is 6-4. Expectations should be 7-3. The ceiling is 8-2. 6-4 says you beat at least one of those teams that we're not expected to beat.
Well, name names, Austin.
7-3 says you got the job done.
Who's been cheaping it up for him? Who's been cheaping it up for him? Name names.
I'm not going to get into all that on the radio. I'm not going to do that today.
Oh, sure. We do it all the time on the drive. I call Houston Crescent moron almost daily on here.
Oh, okay. Well, if you're going to call his name, then I mean, I guess I'll ride with it. yeah, you're not allowed to say anything negative about him. Anything negative about the program.
That's not true.
Immediately shuts you down and immediately just not like, that's not what, this is how you keep the university and this program accountable. You don't just go with it and say, heck yeah, brother, you've got my rubber stamp on this. No, it's okay to question the decisions when he's not done anything to earn this. No one has beaten down his door to hire him away right now. Yes, he's done fantastic in recruiting. That's great. But until you turn around and take those players and you develop them and you turn it into a season that's actually worth a darn for the University of Tennessee, then it's exactly what we went through for 5 years under the last guy. It was recruiting, 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 all on paper, minimal, if any, results. So I'm sorry if I'm not just over the moon about this right now. And you said it. Davey tweeted it out on Twitter. It's true. It's so tone deaf. You got people who you're trying to take their money and to compensate, put their name on a brick on a wall. But we're not hurting bad enough. We can't go give this man a $400,000 raise. Yes, he deferred for a year. But you also covered that, Russ. Everything just disappears in 12 months. Even though economic impacts like this don't just come overnight, it takes 12 to 18 months to feel the true effects of downturns and recessions like what we just went through.
Mm. Well, look, I ought to be clear. My opinion, I'm not trashing Pruitt. I'm not criticizing him. I like the guy. I think he's learning on the job. I think he's headed in the right direction, and I want him to succeed desperately. The last thing I want to do is another miserable season and a coaching search. And like, I don't want any of that, man. I want this dude to go out there and tear it up this year. But, like, I guess I'd be critical of the decision process here and just questioning it. And,
hey, God,
that's exactly
Nature
where I'm at.
On Twitter.
There's a different feeling around the program. There's a different feeling when those guys are out there playing.
Yeah.
There's a different intensity. There's a different level of play. You can feel it.
Yeah.
It's going in the right direction, but you don't do things like this, and you don't start sheeping it up yet for a feeling. Until that feeling turns into something material and physical, i.e. wins on the field, wins over opponents that, you know, are respectable in the record and then the postseason success, that's when you do it.
Austin, thanks, my man. Anything else before we get some more callers in here?
No, I'm just going to piss more people off, so y'all go ahead.
Thank you, Austin. Appreciate the phone call. Look, man, be passionate about it. You start...
Well, I mean, perspective is a good thing to have. And this is just brought to my attention. Vol Nation Recruiting on Twitter. South Carolina just spent a cool $1 million on a giant chicken statue. Are we really upset that Coach Pruitt got a $400K raise and he deferred until next year?
Well, I don't know the ins and outs.
I mean, they did spend $1 million on a ridiculous-looking giant chicken statue.
What is our boy Tony Vitello over there thinking today as he's building that? You want to talk about a guy who's done something, who's got something to show for it, who's turned around his program, made an NCAA tournament, might have had a College World Series level team this past season if his year hasn't been canceled. He's in desperate need of facility improvements. His program is way behind the league brethren in terms of the arms race. And that's a guy who's going to have other options.
He's going to get taken care of, Russell.
I would not assume that.
I definitely think there wasn't anybody. If Crochet had stayed healthy this past spring, he wasn't going to lose a whole lot of games. You see, he's still in triple digits on the reg now.
I wouldn't assume that he's going to get taken care of. I think he's the kind of guy that this hits the hardest. He will be last
now,
in line.
You want to see me get upset and race in hell. You let them not take care of our guy. Honorary member of the drive, Coach Tony Vitello.
Hold on, let me be specific. They'll take care of him. I think they'll pay him and give him a nice raise and everything, but they're not going to have the money to redo that stadium anytime soon. They're not going to have the money to build him any sort of indoor facility.
They can give him what he wants and what he needs to. I would hope that they would see what they've got in him and give him what he needs and take care of him so that he can finally build Tennessee. Because I think he could actually.
I hope so too, Bear. They're not going
to
have the money.
Baseball power.
They're not going to have the money. Well,
they got the money to give $400,000.
Well, do they? That's the question. That's the conversation we're having here.
Obviously, they do. They damn well better take care of our buddy. Now I'm hot about it.
Trey, your thoughts on Austin's call before we get back to the phones?
I don't know. I just hope he has some oxygen. I don't know.
I'll go ahead and tell you, I thought it was a cheap shot to tear ass in the Houston Crest the way he did. I would never.
Matthew is next on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Good afternoon, Matthew.
How's it going, guys?
It's going well, thanks.
You know, I was kind of listening to that last call. He sounded a little too heated up for a Thursday afternoon. I guess it's football week, but let's save that
awesome
negative energy for Saturday night.
Pace
Wait
yourself, Austin.
Gets to climb.
Yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
I'm a student, so I was in class when I got the notification. And I just kind of, first thing I said was, huh? It just doesn't seem like the right time to announce it. But I also, like, when I think about why they extended Butch, I mean, think about how many things were going on off the field and not just on the field during that. So Pruitt has like one more win, I think, than Butch did in his like first 2 years. That doesn't really matter, right? But I feel like off the field, the program is looking a lot better than Butch's program did off the field in the second or going into the third year, right?
I guess so. It's the years run together. Had Butch's third year would be 2015. Had off the field whispers, problems, issues started to creep up by 2015 with Butch?
Well, that was like 2014 was AJ, the whole AJ ordeal, wasn't it? With Code Red and all that stuff. Was it not?
It was.
Yeah. Hell yeah,
what year
crept in.
What year was the Title IX stuff, too?
2014, 2015.
About 4 years.
So, I mean,
he had a recruit beat the hell out of his girlfriend in one of the parking garages over there. It came early and often with Butch. I do think it's a bit unfair to compare Pruitt to Butch Jones.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think the only reason that I would bring that up would be because it feels like the only reason that he got this extension was not because of like the direction of the program on the field, but the direction of the program off the field.
Well, here's the other thing about the extension and about all these things. I don't so much look at the raise as I do. The important thing to me is, and maybe this is something Trey knows, if you do, Trey Holler, the buyout. Did it change the buyout?
Davies told me they added $2 million to the buyout.
I'm sitting here looking at the new contract that was signed yesterday, and I will just read you this part right here on coach separation payment. If coach terminates this agreement without cause, then the coach or the third party on the coach's behalf shall pay a separation payment in the amount equal to $1 million times the number of contract years remaining from the coach termination date until January 31st, 2026. So pretty much it's $1 million. If they fire him after this year, they owe him $5 million.
Yeah.
They fire him in 2 years, owe him $3 million. So it didn't go up. I mean, it didn't go up any. I had the contract sent over by Tennessee.
Hey, $5 million, we'd be getting off pretty cheap.
It's not as stupid as the one that Butch Jones had and Derek Dooley and some of the other ones. And if he decides to walk at the end of the, let's say he catches lightning in a bottle, goes 10-0, somebody makes him an offer he can't refuse, they're going to be paying $6 million to Tennessee just to hire him. Did I understand you correctly?
Yeah, that would be after this year. Yeah.
Well,
anything else, Matthew?
No, that's it. Appreciate you all taking my call.
Hey, we appreciate the phone call, man. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Today's Rickard Rich Barbecue smoking hot question of the day. What do you think about the Rays? Great move, dumb move, or no opinion? 58.3% of the audience, we got over 100 votes already at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter, says it is a great move. 25.8% say no opinion. 15.8% say dumb move. I think this is one of those issues. Most casual fans just kind of look at it and they're like, oh, great. Like, I like Jeremy Pruitt. I like Tennessee football. Yay, good things happen to good people. But for those of us that, like, we do this day in, day out, and we've, like, as Austin said, seeing these patterns repeat itself, it's just like your radar goes up a little bit. It's like, wait a minute. Everybody thought this was a great move when Butch Jones got his raise due. Everybody thought, Derek Dooley was going into year 2012 was going to tear it up. Everybody thought things were on the up and up, and just like, okay, I've been watching. I've seen this, how this goes before. Hope it doesn't go that way again.
Well, and I'd like to add something, too. You're talking about money. There is a retention bonus in his contract. On February 15th of 2021, which is next year in February, the university shall pay coach a one-time retention bonus of $200,000. So
I love that, man. I love the sports world.
When are you going to pay me my retention bonus, bro?
I love the sports world where they just give you money for keeping your job. The rest of us just call that a bonus, a retention bonus. It's like, here's another $1 million just for being here. We love you. Great.
Jelly of the Month Club.
I hope he better win. He better win. The people have such short memories. Like, everybody thinks that, like, Butch Jones was just a moron. He was born a moron. He was a moron when he got here. And we knew that all along. Like, in hindsight, we knew he was a moron. We never liked that guy. Everybody is saying, all hyped up about this season, was saying the exact same things about Butch Jones going into year three. Everybody was so fired up going into.
I think everybody was.
Everybody was. Everybody was so fired up going into 2012 about Derek Dooley. Oh, we're going to win. We got Sal Cenceri. We're going to run the Alabama defense to go along with this awesome Jim Chaney offense we got. Oh, man, it's going to be so awesome. Like, I've seen it before, man. It's happened twice before, and maybe it's a little bit of battered ball syndrome. Not saying it's going to happen a third time, but it's happened before. Yes, Trey.
So I'm reading this amendment. When did it become, it became official February 21st of this year, that any contract agreements, employee agreements with the university athletic coaches and athletic directors have been delegated for execution by the chancellor of each university campus. So Dondi Plowman had to agree to this. But when did that change? So they're saying that this changed February 21st. Who the heck was doing it before then?
I'm sorry, doing what?
Who was approving these contracts before February 21st of 2020? Because now Chancellor Donde Plowman has to approve everything.
Probably the acting president, Randy Boyd.
Yeah. I thought that part was interesting.
No, isn't that when Donde Plowman officially took over?
I don't know. It all runs together, Bear. There have been so many people.
The road has thrown everything off.
So many coaches, so many chancellors, so many presidents.
I don't remember what happened yesterday.
Stay with us. The drive continues. We got a game happening Saturday, by the way, fellas. We'll talk about that when we continue. Your Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Kregner Group. Coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive. Man.
All right, let's get a quick Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Kregner Group. Then we're going to get back to these phones. T-Carpa, we'll get him in here next. Obviously, the big news, Pruitt's raised today. A little bit more of the details on the contract. The incentives go up big time for Jeremy Pruitt, and I don't think anybody would have any problem with these. Winning the SEC championship game, it was a $300,000 incentive. Now it's a $400,000 incentive. Just appearing in it goes from $100,000 to $200,000. Winning a national title was a $500,000 incentive. It's now a $1.5 million incentive. I'm fine with stroking a $1.5 million check to Jeremy Pruitt if he wins a natty. So all those incentives going up for Jeremy Pruitt, and it just feels like that should have been. It's like, dude, go out and win seven games this year, and we'll give you an extra $500,000. Like, you go 6-4 or less, your contract stays the same, and like, I think we all agree that'd be a good move. But Bear, they didn't ask me, and again, I'm starting to feel like they're never going to. Strange.
Go ahead and give it up at this point, Russ.
Strange, man. I've got lots of good advice. I'm going to keep offering it, whether they take it or not. All right, Trey, what's the schedule? Practice today and then hop on the bird for Columbia tomorrow.
The team tested this morning between 7 and 9. They COVID tested this morning. They will have a walkthrough today, just like they kind of had yesterday. Nothing intense. I was told yesterday at practice, Tank McCullough back with the team. Tank McCullough. Warren Burrell's been back out there, but Tank McCullough is back. He ran with the twos yesterday. Had nice days from Trayvon, Flowers, Schamberger, Bryce, and Quavarius Crouch. Don't be surprised if Jeremy Banks is going to be the starter at inside linebacker alongside Henry Toa Saturday night. And don't be surprised if Slaughter is running before Schamberger at the start. That's going to be kind of one of those switch positions.
Oh, I'm gonna. I'll be surprised if that happens, but we'll see. Real quickly, Trey, did he say anything about Cade Mays last night?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was mad. He said the same darn thing. I mean, pretty much he said the NCAA approved him, so why can't he play? Why we got to wait on the SEC?
So in his mind, he's still waiting.
Yeah, he's still waiting. He said he hadn't got a phone call from the SEC yet, which is not true because he said Fulmer spoke with Sankey, but Cade has not received a phone call from the SEC yet. And I was told this late last night, by a source in Tennessee. If you don't have a ruling by tonight or Friday morning, then you ain't getting one for Saturday, and he ain't going to be playing.
Yeah, let's not rush it or anything, guys. Take your time. We got all day here. We got all week. All right, that's your Rocky Top Report.
Know if he gets on the plane.
Brought to you by the Kregner Group. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are in the real estate market, you're looking to move, you're looking to sell your house, whatever it is, call the Kregner Group today for a free consultation at 865-742-1035. Number one in the country, United Real Estate Solutions. Closings last year, they get it done. You want your home sold? Call the Kregner Group, 865-742-1035, or just go online to bonoshouses.com. T-Carp, You are on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Good afternoon, T-Carp.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Let's rewind back to Monday. What did the – is it the football power index? Is that what predicted Tennessee to go – what was it, 3-7?
I believe it was, yeah. The ESPN FPI has us winning 3 or 4 games.
And if I remember correctly, you reminded me that they have correctly predicted the last 2 years of Jeremy Pruitt's tenure.
It's true.
And if that is true, then – and we go 3-7 with this raise during COVID, how is that going to look?
Probably not good.
I mean, I know you said it for the entire hour of he's got to win, but dude's got to win. You know, there's no cupcake easy wins in this schedule this year, and I kind of like it. We get to see the team play the SEC,
yeah,
which is the region they're in, and we're going to test ourselves and see if we are any good or not. If he wins 5, 6, 7 games, phenomenal. But if we go out and lay a turd of a 3-win season, I mean, are we any better than, and I hate to be a, you know, echo Phil, are we any better than Vanderbilt or Kentucky?
Oh, yeah, I think you're, well, I think Kentucky's, the gap between Kentucky and Vanderbilt is pretty significant.
Absolutely.
At this point. I think we're, you know, it's that question we asked earlier in the summer. Is this program closer to Kentucky and South Carolina right now, or is it closer to Georgia and Florida? And that, you know, if he's worth, if your coach is worth this kind of money, I would assume that he better be closer to Florida and Georgia.
Yeah, I sure hope so. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm not trying to say he's a bad coach or anything like that, but it does scare me that we are predicted to go 3-7. Like, what was the reasoning behind that? Does anyone really know?
It's the FPI. They have algorithms and stuff, dude. I don't know. They just go through. Yeah, they go through all those games and run it through the computers and simulations and everything. They're like, oh, you know, Tennessee won this game 44% of the time, and that's their number.
All right. That doesn't, you know, I usually like to sheep it up for the last two coaches, especially, you know, oh, I remember Butch's year, that third year. It was the team of destiny. Remember that? Because the dog would just win it, just pull us through. And, yeah, we all remember what happened there.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to do this again. Y'all be good.
Thank you, T-Carp. Let's get Kevin in ahead of the top of the hour. Good afternoon, Kevin. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Guys, how we doing?
Hey, doing well. How are you, sir?
Man, it's 2 days until football season, so I don't have a gripe in the world.
There you go. It's all about perspective, Kevin.
It is also fourth anniversary of a big day, which was the 38 unanswered points in the streak coming to an end.
Juwan Jennings breaking Tease Tabor's ankles and swallowing Florida's soul. How could you possibly forget? In the smoky gray uniforms.
I got to tell you, that day was both the lowest and highest point in my Tennessee fandom. I'm a little too young to have relished in the glory days. So, yeah, that was my senior year, and I was so wasted that when Dobbs threw a third-quarter interception, we were down 21-3. I was so hammered and hot that I stormed out of the stadium in a rage and then had to go home and rally and join the party after. And but anyways, 4-year anniversary of that. Wanted to make sure that didn't go unnoticed.
Thank
today,
you.
So
thank you very much, Kevin. One. You too, man. Appreciate it. That was such a weird day, man. I was at that game too, and it was so hot. Like at one point, The guy I was with handed me like $20. He was just like, dude, go get some water. And I went into the concourse, and we were like right in the sun just baking. And it's a Tennessee-Florida game, right? I mean, you're glued to the TV. You're in your seat. You're living it. And it was so cool in that concourse. I just like sat there on the ground for like 10, 15 minutes. Didn't care that I was missing the game at all. Just trying to cool down. And we were, it didn't hurt that we were getting our brains beat in at that point. But and by the time I got that water, came back in, we started winning. So that was probably
my dad went missing that game. It was crazy.
Well, I'm glad they found him. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up. Bears got your top four at four. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. It's Fan Run Radio. Back with more after this.
The Drive.